You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
We do say what we want. So, nanny goat. That's the beauty of LA Talk Radio. We get to say what we want. This is Dr. Michelle. Good morning, and welcome to On the Couch. I hope you're feeling good today, because if not, I hope I make you feel better. I've got great things to talk about. I'm going to be answering listeners' questions. I'm going to talk about a lot of cool things today. I'm kind of excited about today's show content, because I spent a great deal of time thinking about some of your questions and trying to answer them, so hopefully you'll enjoy them. And if you want to call me here live on the air, you can do so. The LA Talk Radio phone number here to get live on the air with me, your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle, is 323-203-0815. That's 323 area code 203-0815. Love to hear from you. You got problems, issues, questions, or just have a good joke for me, give me a call. Love to hear from you. I do have a screener sometimes, so if you're, really crazy, we just may hang up on you, but that's okay. I like crazy. What else? Oh, you can find me on my website if you'd like, drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelle with two L's, therapy.com. And you can find out more about what I'm talking about here from my point of view. I practice a lot of different orientations, but I do positive psychotherapy. That's a biggie. And my website says, trying to help you with those positive life changes. The whole thing is positive now. Yeah, you're feeling depressed and anxious and have low self-esteem and not feeling too good. But there are ways you can lift yourself up out of it. Besides meds. Other stuff too helps. Changing your thinking, changing behaviors, all that good stuff. So you can find out more about my beliefs. And of course, I also am a relationship expert. You can see me on expertvillage.com, where I have my series on how to read body language. That's the one going on right now. Helps you understand how to present yourself really well. If you're going in for job interviews, or you're trying to really impress a guy or a lady, you know, how to appear confident and all that with your body language. And then we'll work on the way you talk. But this is about body language, so you can just type in expertvillage.com, and then in the search engine there, just put how to read body language, and I'll give you some tips on different types of suggestions for all types of reading, good and bad, body language traits. And you can, of course, email me at my email address, which is docmichelle@aol.com. That's D-O-C, Michelle, two L's, at AOL.com. And that's what I'm responding to today, are a lot of questions that were written to me on my email address. Also, I have links from my website onto that. And so what I do is I answer your questions. So today I'm going to be answering questions about how men and women can communicate better. That's one of my classics. I love talking about that. Just kind of explain about how men and women are a little different. And yes, they are. Also, I got an email from a guy, Nick, who's having a problem being told that he's kind of boring and dull and all that stuff. Poor guy. That sucks. Anyway, he says he wants to get a better sense of humor, how to be funny. Well, I don't know. I have no idea. It just kind of, I think you're born with it, but we can help you along a little bit, Nick. Also, I also have Jillian, who's really worried about, she's getting married, and she's really freaking out because of all the people who are getting divorced around her and all the statistics, you know. So we're going to help you out, Jillian, and kind of, you know, rest some of those fears that you have. I also have some advice for Michael. And if we have time, I also have a great test. This is testing your healthy attitude towards your emotions. This is an on-air live test. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and then based on your answers, you get to, you know, just kind of judge where you're at in terms of healthy emotions and all that. So those are really fun. I like to do those. So let's get rocking here. Again, if you want to call me, 323-203-0815, live on the air number. Let me establish the fact that you and I do not have a therapeutic relationship. That's my disclaimer. No, you were just having a good time here, and I'm a psychologist who's given advice and maybe hopefully entertaining you and making you feel better and giving you some stuff to talk about with your friends later or complain about, whatever. Let's get to Cherie's email. Dear Dr. Michelle, sometimes I get so frustrated at my boyfriend when I need to talk about something serious. Like last night, I was talking about my jerk of a boss, and I really needed to talk to my boyfriend about that and the things that my boss says to me that make me feel bad. But my boyfriend zones out, watches the TV or is on the computer, and when I'm talking to him, he says, uh-huh. All right. So how can I understand him a little bit better? Well, you know, here's the thing, Cherie. Women complain that communicating with a man is like trying to talk to a tourist who doesn't know your language. I mean, it's, you know, right? How many of your girlfriends do that? Eventually, sometimes we have to resort to sign language, waving our arms around. That's why women sometimes are so dramatic with their body gestures. They're not, we feel like guys aren't hearing us sometimes, so we get out there with our arms and our hands, and that's really, really annoying. And men complain that all women want to do is talk, 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 right? Right? Okay. Here are a couple of ways that both genders can improve how they communicate with the opposite sex. So I want you to hear this. Oh, by the way, the gentleman who wrote, you know, Mars and Venus. Yeah. They said, how do you know, how can you stereotype that men and women are so different? How can you say this? And he goes, well, did you read the book? I mean, did you agree with most of the stuff that was in the book? And the survey said, yes. So that's how we know. And it's just patterns of studies of how the way people talk. So, okay, let me get back to Cherie. Didn't mean to ignore you or digress. But little bit of communication tips on guys, Cherie, for women. Cherie, check it out. If you're complaining too much, you find yourself just, oh, my God, this is terrible and this and that and that. Men communicate to share information, not to establish relationships. I know, shocking. Usually, this is a usually. And of course, the more we're, you know, entangled and close with someone, guys usually can relax a little bit more. But, you know, if we incessantly go on and on and on and on and on and complain all the time, that gets where they know how to tune us out. It's an art. So this means that a conversation with a man might not always be as satisfying. This conversation with a girlfriend. You know that. Your girlfriend's listening. She's hanging on to every word. Yes, you're right, Cherie. You're right. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Your boss sounds like such a jerk. Yeah, I think you did the right thing. And your boyfriend will just go, uh-huh. He's trying to kind of download on his day, too, Cherie. He's got stuff going on that he's trying to figure out. So don't be as frustrated when he's not as interested in chatting as you are. Did you know guys tend to speak half as many words as women do on a daily basis? It's true. You're not surprised, are you? No, neither am I. Cherie, darling, try to talk less with your man. Most men are bottom line oriented. They'll be better listeners if you get to the point quicker. Get to the point! You know, I told you that story to tell you this one. And I was feeling really bad because then he said this to me, and then I went into the bathroom and I almost started crying, and then I went to my coworker and I told her about it, and then, now, get to the point. Be more direct in your communication. Be more direct. Men lose interest when you take a route to the point of your story, like I was saying. You know, you just go out and about and around, you know, the whole story. You know, guys do take... less interest. Get to the frickin' point. Now, Cherie, I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining about you. I'm not saying this. I'm not putting dumping on you. You sound like a really neat lady, and I'm so sorry you're having trouble with your boss. If you want to keep your job, just try to get along with him. I'm sure there's a lot of other coworkers who think he's a jerk as well. But when it comes to your man, get to the point, maybe. Edit some of all those, you know, diversions you take in your conversation. And then I went, don't go through your whole day. So, you know, when I was telling you about some of the speech patterns, how guys are, and let me give you the lowdown here, okay, on the down low. Men, in their speech patterns, speak in a louder voice. Women, of course, we speak in a softer voice, usually. Yeah, but it's true. Men use loudness to emphasize points. They do. That's just how they are. That's what they've been taught, because they're guys. Women use pitch and inflection to emphasize points. We go way up in our voices and inflection, like I do on the radio all the time. And that can be really annoying. But anyway, that's what it is. Guys use approximately 3 tones. Yep. And they sound more monotonous in their speech. They use about 3 tones. That's generally speaking. That's true. All right, Cherie. We ladies, we use 5 to 6 tones when we're talking. So we're all over the place. So that's what I was just talking about. We're more emotional. Guys interrupt each others more, and they allow fewer interruptions. Now, I know, you know, the old stereotypes, the old sitcoms and stuff of women always interrupting. No, no, no. It's knowledge. It's always been studied that guys interrupt others more. They allow fewer interruptions. Women do interrupt others less, and they allow more interruptions. Guys disclose less personal information about themselves. Duh! Women disclose more personal information about themselves, generally. Too much information sometimes. Guys make direct accusations. Direct. That's when I say get to the point of your story, Cherie. Okay? Let's just take, for instance, they're worried about they haven't heard from you or whatever. A guy will say, you don't call. Direct accusations. You don't call. Women make more indirect accusations. They use why, which sounds like nagging. So, we say, why don't you ever call? Okay? Guys make more direct statements and beat around the bush less often. That's it. They're just more direct. I've been talking about that. And they use less intensifiers. So, in other words, they make more indirect statements like, and they use intensifiers like few, so, really, much, and quite. That's the women. Few, so, really, much, and quite. Okay? Guys just don't use those qualifiers, the intensifiers. They just don't do it. They're direct. You know? Okay. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about? Okay, let's get a sentence where I really think that my boss is such a jerk sometimes. He pisses me off much more than most people. Okay, a guy would say, my boss is an asshole. That's it. Okay, guys, they make more declarative statements. Declarative, it's a nice day. It's a guy. Women make more tentative statements, and they use tag endings or upward inflections, which makes statements sound like questions. It's a nice day, isn't it? You know why? They want feedback. They want to communicate. Come on, it's like pulling teeth. All right. Guys use more interjections when changing topics. You know what an interjection is? Guys are talking, hey, how about those Dodgers? American League West. Yo, baby. Guys use, oh. Listen, we need to get to the pub at 6 today. You like how I changed my voice? It's really annoying. That's an interjection that guys use. Women use interjections like conjunctions when changing topics. So here we go again, changing topics. We're just going on, baby, on and on and on. We're switching topics. So we use conjunctions. And, but, however, So my boss is really a jerk. And then I went into the bathroom and I started to cry almost. But then my girlfriend came in and we started talking. However, when I came out a little bit, that's what we do. Guys are tuning out. I'm not blaming us women. That's how we are. Men ask fewer questions to stimulate conversation. I wonder why. They get to the point. They filter out all the crud. Women ask more questions to stimulate conversations. We do. We want to talk. Women be talking. You know, in those tomography exams, the right side of the brain in the women, we are looking at bright red and orange and, you know, we're working. That language part of the brain's working, baby. Okay? Men are blue and green. The left brain's working more. That's just the way it is sometimes. I know I'm going to get emails complaining I'm sexist, but this is what we see time and time again. Guys ask fewer questions to stimulate conversation, like I said, because they don't want to know too much information. They just want to get to the point and hear the real deal and then move on to the next thing. Guys rarely discuss their personal life in business. They rarely do. Unless after, you know, they get out of the office and they go to the cigar shop. How's your wife doing? That's what my husband does. He gets out of work. He goes over to the local cigar shop. And all these guys sit around. Hey, you know what I say? It's better than going to a gentleman's club watching girls swing on a pole. You enjoy those cigars, honey. But they talk about business and they make business. And they exchange cards and they do all that stuff. But they once in a while, when they get out of the business environment, how's your wife? And then they go back to the sports or the guy stuff or did you do this on the Smith file or, you know, whatever. Women tend to establish more business relationships through discussing their personal life. That's why sometimes in an office, you know, men and women's business management styles are very different. And when women try to utilize a man's management style without being as emotional, they're called bitches. And that's the way it is. It's a wrong perception. That's all I have to say. So I'm just trying. Oh, by the way, let me share this with you as well, real quickly, Cherie. You got it? You understand what's going on? Email me if you don't get all this. But this is just empirical studies. This is stuff that we observe about how men and women communicate. Women are from Mars, men are from... Is that the way it goes? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. It is kind of true. It's all that true stuff. It's an old book. Guys, if you're listening, now, you may perceive that, ladies, I've been dumping on you for, you know, since I've been on the air about the way we communicate and we can get really tedious. I am not dumping on you. It's just the way we are. And we love to communicate. But, guys, let me just give you a heads up on conversing... better with women. Guys, realize that we communicate to establish relationships, not to share information necessarily. Establish relationships. So we might chatter and be more personal in our conversation. Okay? Just be, pretend like you're listening. Don't, Just look, you know, occasional gaze into the eyes is good. All right, guys, understand that not every question from us, from a woman, is a problem begging for a solution. What I love about my husband is I'll say something like, you know, I've been thinking maybe I should get out and do more exercise and maybe we should get the whole family out. He has a solution right away. Okay, here's what we're going to do on Saturday. We're all going to go out for... That was just something I brought up, just to think and things. Guys want solutions. It's not everything that we say is not a problem that you have to fix. We love it, but you don't have to fix it. Just hear it. Be certain she's asked you for your help before you jump in with help. Because sometimes all we want to do is just, you know, blow off steam. That's our way of blowing off steam. That's it. You guys play games and watch TV. Realize that it's a fact of life that women use twice as many words as men do. It's a fact of life. We use twice as many words. Don't be frustrated. Just listen. 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 If you get bored, just go, oh, you know what? I got to focus on, I got to make a call. If you're about ready to freak out, don't go, and zone out and just shut her off, because that hurts. Move beyond two-word answers, guys. I know, those aren't words. Well, Especially on the phone. You'll win her over for sure if you move beyond your two-word answers, three-word answers. You don't have to always get to the point and share information. Sometimes it's okay to establish relationships. Sometimes it's really cool to share your feelings. You're not going to come off like a wuss. Don't worry about that. Sometimes it's nice to blow off steam with a pal who's a girl, a woman, your wife, your girlfriend. Alrighty? Go beyond the two-word answers. That's the thing that really bothers me, and I hear all the time, and I might have mentioned this. I think I did last week in my show, about texting. I have a lot of young adult men and women who come to see me about their relationships. And the most common complaint of women is when they are texting the guy, you know, throughout the day that they've been seeing, or their boyfriends, or whatever, husbands, is that guys, they'll go on. They'll have a really long text about their feeling and why. Do you want to do this? And I was feeling like this. And the guys will go, yeah. That'll be the response. What does he mean? He doesn't care. He doesn't love me. What does that mean? No, he's getting to the point. He uses fewer words. You know, it's all about economy of words and meaning. So I thought you're texting. I thought we'd go to the pub later, or let's go to a club and have a few this, and then we'll go na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. His response, okay. What does he mean by that? He means frickin' okay. It's all good. That's what he means. That's it. Try to understand some of that stuff, Cherie. I'm not putting you down, girls. I'm not putting you down, guys. I'm just saying that's the way it is. That's the way we communicate. Hopefully, gentlemen listening have taken in some useful information on how to communicate a little better with your ladies. All right. Okay, I have another really good email I want to get to. Cherie, thank you so much for writing me. By the way, you can find me at my website. It's drmichelletherapy.com. It's not spelled out. It's just abbreviated. Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. And, you know, that'll link you up to my email, and you can ask questions if you like. And then I get your permission and put them on the air live here on LA Talk Radio. So, we're going to go to how to get a sense of you. This was a really good one. This is from Kevin. I've been told I am not a spontaneous or funny guy. Most women make me feel kind of depressed. And they say my personality isn't really good because I'm not funny enough. What can I do to be funnier? Oh, boy. I'm really sorry that you're feeling that, because, I mean, that's kind of a drag. What kind of women are you hanging out with? Huh? Somebody to say, oh, you're not funny enough, or your personality's boring? Lose those chicks. Okay, but let me give you a few tips. Because, you know, to help you out to have a sense of humor. And laughter is the best medicine. That's what they say. I mean, it's really good. It's called lighten up. If I can give people therapy, you know, in two words, to make them feel better every day. Maybe that's what I should do. I should, on my voicemail, on my office phone. Good morning. This is the office of Dr. Michelle. First of all, I want to say to you, lighten up! Thank you for calling. Leave your message after the beep. If this is an emergency, hang up and dial 911. But that's it. Laughter is the best medicine. It's a great icebreaker for a first date, second date. Sense of humor is one of the number one turn-ons for many, many women. It is. It's one thing to have a great sense of humor. It's another thing to have everybody cracking up. You don't have to have everybody cracking up, Kevin. You know, sounds to me like you're more of a serious guy. So I want you to lighten up a little bit. So I'm gonna give you some tips on ways to be funny. All right? I have some suggestions here. Ready? Number one, chill out. Lighten up! You need to relax a little bit and not worry about how you're coming off, because a woman who would tell you that you're boring and not funny enough, you don't need that. Make them go away. Bye-bye. They got to appreciate you for you. So maybe you have to take a look at some of the messages you're getting and say, gosh, maybe I should just relax and chill out, because you know, when you are exhibiting anxiety, maybe your body language is a little closed up and stuff. Maybe that's what it's about. You just got to kind of relax, take some deep breaths. Nobody's going to throw tomatoes at you if you strike out. If you're trying to do some corny, really badass jokes and you're not going for some life-altering test. You just want to add some spice to your life. Conversations appear more easygoing. You know, chill out a little bit. How do you act with your guy friends? I bet you're a lot more comfortable with them because you're joking around. You're not trying to impress them. You're just hanging. Don't put so much pressure on yourself, okay? You just want to get some ladies to laugh or at least smile. So, okay, just lighten up. What's really another good thing, don't imitate others. You want to know about famous actors and comedians, but by the same token, you don't want to get caught using somebody else's material because that's really embarrassing. So if you watch comedians, I would suggest that you watch comedians, watch their body style and their timing and all that. So rather than like reciting a Dane Cook or like a great Chris Rock line you heard on HBO special or something and pass it off as your own, it's like it's in their intonation. You can't pull it off because you're using their joke. It's not going to be really that funny. But you can refer to them like you're culture savvy. So let's say if you're stuck waiting in a department store line with your buddy for 45 minutes, right? You finally get to the cash register and the cashier just refuses to let you return this really piece of yucky shirt or sweater that your grandmother gave you. Has a defect, looks really bad. Well, you can refer to something like, this is such a Seinfeld situation. This is such a, right? It's like ironic. You can refer to the comedian. This sounds like something Dane Cook would have gone through with his dates. This sounds like a Chris Rock. You can always do that. That's cool. It means you're culture savvy and you listen and people will go, yeah, you're right. That's pretty funny. Yeah, he notices that. Okay. Be pop culture savvy. Like I was talking about, know your stuff. You can't be funny if you don't have any references or material. So, Kevin, get some broad general knowledge. Go online. All right? You can say like a Homer-esque comment. You know, Simpsons thingy. If you don't know who the Simpsons are. And you can say, well, remember the old Ace Ventura, Pet Detective? All righty then. You know, Jim Carrey is just a genius. Watch the way he times it. What? So the more you know film, TV, music, everything pop culture, the greater the chance of being funny. Broaden your horizons, Kevin. Stay up to date with current events and the news. You'll be surprised at how much material will randomly come to you. And who knows? You may become so funny, Kevin, that you could be someone's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire lifeline. You know? You could be that clever, funny, knowledgeable guy. Just joking. Well, you sound like a serious, really intelligent guy. Okay. It's really also important to find your style. If you want to be funny, make other people laugh. Find your style. That another reason to avoid imitating actors and comedians is because it may not suit your style. If you're not a sarcastic or cynical person, it makes it really hard to imitate somebody like David Letterman or, you know, Chandler from Friends. You know? If you're rather quiet and subdued, which sounds like you are, Kevin, it'll be nearly impossible to take on like Robin Williams or Jim Carrey's humor. You know, they're out there, crazy. So you got to be subtle, you got to be relaxed, you got to find what works for you, find your style. You can always take bits and pieces of others' humor, but you want to adapt your shtick to your own style and personality. This will be easier for you and sound more genuine. You won't have to try too hard. You know who you should listen to? TJ McCormick. TJ McCormick, every day, comes on the air here, 12 to 2. The guy is a comedian. He's a genius. He's smart. It's all original. He has his own style, his own sense of humor. He's good. So listen to him, too. His timing is wonderful. Just a heads up there. Also, have a joke pool. This is, not really stupid ones, Kevin. You never know when a situation calls for a joke, like if you're at a really lame party or something like that, and you're just talking with people. This is where a reserve of jokes can come in handy. So you can get like a joke of the day, one of those joke of the day things online. Take a break from your stuff at work, whatever. Keep the ones you like. And, you know, you'll have several in stock for when the time is right. You know, you don't want to break into your best joke. You know what? Like a rabbi, a priest, and a nun walk into a bar. No. You don't want to do that in certain. You have to look at the situations. You don't want to whip into that one in the middle of a conversation with your manager. You'll kind of have to feel out when to resort to your pool of jokes. All right. Know your audience. That's what I'm talking about here. There's a time and a place for everything. And just like you need to know your audience when giving a speech, you need to know when you're delivering a joke and who you're delivering it to. The right time, the right place. Save the dirty jokes for your friends and the witty comments for your girlfriend's parents. All right. Get the delivery and timing right. And that's when I say, like, go online and watch comedians. Listen to TJ McCormick here on LA Talk Radio. Being funny isn't only about telling jokes. It's all in your mannerism, attitude, how you project yourself, and your delivery. Be animated and live when you speak. You know, you can make any story funny. Oh my God, you know what happened the other day? Yeah, make eye contact with people and speak with confidence too. Maybe this is what's going on with you, Kevin. You're not making eye contact. You're looking down or you're looking away or, yeah. If your humor is a little dark or sarcastic or whatever, like Woody Allen or, you know, George Costanza, then play the part and talk in a monotonous voice. Just find it. Don't worry about bombing. Your goal is not to strike on a 10 on the laugh-o-meter. Everybody bombs. It's kind of fun when you bomb. And then you can say stuff like, okay, that was really lame. Never mind. Okay. Final tips for you, and then I'll throw this away. Hopefully you're taking notes, Kevin. You want to be funny. You want to have more sense of humor. The biggie, lighten up, like I said. Smiling is really important. It'll encourage others to laugh. The guys who always cracked me up were the ones who had kind of a smile. Not all the time, like phony, but who took things lightly. Lighten up. Be animated and energetic when you're telling a story. It'll make, you know, people kind of look at you. Be blunt. Takes people by surprise. Can be kind of funny. Make sure your timing is right. When you tell a joke, don't laugh before the punchline. Most of my girlfriends do that. They'll be telling me a joke and they'll just crack up. I do that too. Be creative. It'll inspire you to be funny. Be creative. Okay? Oh, I just wanted to say something. You got to find the humor in situations. Even if you're getting like a $200 speeding ticket, right? You gotta find laugh. You gotta find laughter, funny stuff in all situations sometimes. Laugh at yourself. Laugh at yourself. A couple of weekends ago, I went out to dinner with my family, a bunch of family members, extended family members. We're all hanging out. We're all walking. There was a whole group of us walking on a local pier here in Los Angeles near the beach. And we're all kind of dressed up, and we're walking, just, you know, we're going to a restaurant. We're all just looking at the beautiful sunset and the ocean. We're getting ready to go to this restaurant, and we're all talking. We're a group of us are all together. And all of a sudden, this, I guess it was a seagull, is flying right over my head and takes a humongous dump on my hair, on my face, on my blouse. I mean, I have blonde hair. I had brown streaks in my hair. My nose had bird poop on it. My chest had bird poop all over it. I mean, I had to literally go into the ladies' room and wash my clothes. My sister-in-law was laughing so hard. My cousin, I mean, you wouldn't believe the one-liners I got from that one. And we kept that going all night. And as people would come up, did you see her blouse? You know why it's wet? This bird took a dump. You make humor of it. I could have very easily gotten really PO'd at this bird and been really embarrassed. It was the most hysterical thing. I looked like somebody had splattered brown paint all over me. And I was laughing so hard, I was crying. My makeup was black streaming down my face. Everybody got a good laugh out of that. And I kept people entertained, and they loved it, and I laughed, and that was it. Okay, there you go. Make the best out of really weird situations. Thank you very much. Hopefully that helped you, Kevin. Because, you know, I want you to feel better. You're a funny guy. You can find it within yourself. All right, what else? Oh, I wanted to get quickly, and we can pick this up next week. I wanted to get to Jillian's question. She emailed me at my address. She said, I'm getting married in December. I really love my fiancé, but I'm worried about all these statistics about 50% of people getting divorced these days who get married. and a lot of my friends are divorced. What should I do to keep from worrying so much? There's a really good book by psychologist Dr. Judith Wallerstein. It's called The Good Marriage, How and Why Love Lasts. And what she did is she carried out all these interviews with couples who've been married at least 9 years and who had kids and worked and had lives. So some of the things that she suggested about these couples and the way they thought about each other are this. Jillian, I hope you're taking notes. Separate emotionally from your childhood so you can invest fully in the marriage and redefine the lines of connection with both of your families of origin. In other words, try to make it the best you can with the in-laws. But separate emotionally. Hopefully, by the time you get married, everybody, you know who you are, and you're not dependent still on mommy or daddy emotionally and what they think of you or siblings. You're who you are, and you're okay about that. And you're self-confident, and you love your mate. So you've separated from all the old crap. Also, you can build togetherness based on mutual identification. Togetherness. You share intimacy. It includes both partners. Set boundaries to protect each partner's autonomy. You know, you can't, you know, name call or, you know, assume what the other person's thinking. But build togetherness. Identification and respect is such a biggie. Establish a really great sex relationship. Okay? Protect it from workplace stresses, family members, all the obligations, all the crazy stuff we have to deal with every day that gets around us. Just really try to work on that and do that. Also, if you have kids, embrace the roles of parenthood. Okay? You know, you got to continue the work of protecting your own privacy from your children as well. Love them dearly. But get your own boundaries with them too. They can't be barging in on you when you have private time. But be there for them. But yeah, it's really important to absorb the impact of the baby's dramatic entrance into the marriage. It does change. Okay? Also, another thing is one of the main reasons why a lot of people break up is the lack of communication. And they don't know how to really master the inevitable crisis of life. So you got to confront them. And the strength is in the bond, keeping it together. Use humor and laughter to keep things in perspective, like we were talking about earlier. Okay? Keep alive the romantic images of falling in love. You know, don't get so overwhelmed with all the crazy stuff. Just keep in mind all the good stuff. I tell a lot of couples who come to see me, what really made you fall for each other in the first place? Why did you love each other originally? Go back there. Let's work back there. Let's go back there. Let's start doing all those things we used to do that made us fall in love with each other. Those are just some ideas for you, Jillian. And I hope don't worry about it. If you're in love with this guy, go for it. It's beautiful. Enjoy. And you can see a premarital counselor if you have a priest or a rabbi or whoever. If that's freaking you out a little bit, you think there's some differences, go see a counselor who does that. And then, you know, if there's too many differences, you might hold back sending out those invitations. How's that for an answer? I don't mean to be, you know, too negative or anything, but that's what it's about. Wow. I was talking about TJ McCormick a little bit earlier because we were talking about how important it is to have a sense of humor. Yeah. And I told you, and I want you to know this, TJ, I told everybody if they want to get how to lighten up a little bit and have a sense of humor and be more entertaining, to listen to your show every day because you have great timing. You are an on-the-spot, ad-libbing kind of fun guy, and you're funnier than hell. And so, folks, listen to TJ McCormick. And, oh, my God, he's up next. I have to go. This is Dr. Michelle. I hope you enjoyed being on the couch. You can find me at my website at drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. Love to hear from you, find out what I'm about, and check out my body language, how to read body language on expertvillage.com. I'll help you out. All righty. Have a good one. Take good care always. This is your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. See you, and have a great weekend, too. Here's TJ coming up next. Bye-bye.
Come back here so I can get your name. I wouldn't know what to say to you just the same. Oh, I'll take my time. smoking here, and people all around. Amplifier.